The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, we'll see about that one. But welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Money Matters with Ken Moray. And of course, I am your host, Ken Moray. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about the stock market. We talk about Social Security. And, of course, we are going to talk about the coronavirus, the effects it's having on the economy, the stock market, where we stand with that, what our thinking is. We're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to have later on in the show whether it's time to buy or not and all of that good stuff. So we have a lot to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. Now, in case you didn't know who I am Ken Moray, the host of Money Matters with Ken Moray. And I have been... I'm the founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. Thank you. We're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, then this show is designed for you. Our website is rpoa.com. And we have videos and articles, podcasts. We have webinars. We have all kinds of stuff on there that if you are in the five-year before retirement, the five-year after retirement zone, that decade right there, then you're the person that we've designed our website. Our entire firm is there to help you as much as we can. And we have lots of resources that I hope you'll take advantage of. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, because we counseled our clients, and I said on the air that we sold all of our equities, and in fact, we're out of bonds as well right now, but we sold all of our equities in early March, and that kind of got the attention of the media. So I've actually been interviewed by the Wall Street Journal and Yahoo Finance and RIA Intel and USA Today, and it's like all of a sudden people are interested in what we're doing. And so because of that, the Twitter sphere has gone crazy on me, as that old song goes, going crazy on me. And so it's been kind of, you know, I kind of understand now, you know, I used to be, I guess I didn't understand what cyberbullying was. You know, I was like, why does anybody care what people say on social media? And, you know, just ignore it, right? But when you're the target of it, all of a sudden it comes home as to why, you know, that is, it does. It hurts your feelings when you try to help and you try to, you know, be out there. And then you get essentially denigrated in the Twitter sphere. But I do want to go over some of the things that were said in the tweets. And the problem is that, you know, you've got 140 characters and you can't respond to all these things that people are saying in 140 characters. And then you don't want to get into an argument with somebody. You know, that's not never productive. So what I thought I would do is go over with you what the tweets were that the criticisms. And I'm totally fine with criticism. I have no problem with that. Sometimes the vitriol can get a little heavy, but that's I guess that's the way it goes. But basically, the tweets have fallen into five camps. And I want to go over all five of those with you, and I'll describe those here in just a moment. Now, also this week, you know, as I just described, our philosophy of managing money is different than a lot of the people who responded with these tweets. And that is that we don't believe that you should buy and hold, all right? We don't believe that that is enough. Meaning that when the market is heading downward and our clients who are, again, they're within 5 years of retirement or they are retired, when we see risk on the downside that could cause our clients to not be able to retire, or we see the risk on the downside where our clients will have to unretire if they were retired already, then we take evasive action. We want to protect against that. And so because of that, you know, we sold, but now we're out. And so the question you may ask is, you know, is it time to buy? And so I'm going to discuss why right now, even though we've had this incredible rally, we feel that it is too risky for us to buy now. And I'll give you our reasons why that is. And then in the segment after that, I want to go over with you when will we look at actually saying it's time to buy. All right. So we'll talk about that as well. And then as we did, and you know what, if we did just that, most shows would say, you know what, we've done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show. I mean, that's it right there. But on this show, do we stop right there? No, we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. And again, not to be a downer, but, you know, with the virus going around and the potential for being infected and the stuff that could happen, I think it is probably a time for you. Last week, we talked about getting your documents in order, your will and all that kind of stuff. This week, we're going to talk about the power of attorney documents that probably, you know, the vast majority of those of you listening to the show who don't have large net worths or anything like that should still consider, okay? So we'll talk about that at about 10 till. So we have a great show. I want to dive into it, but first I got to tell you a quick story. As you guys know, we went to, and we were hoarders, I have to admit. We went to the store and we hoarded chocolate, okay? Because I just did not want to have to be sequestered and quarantined without having chocolate, okay? That's like not going to happen. So we bought enough chocolate to feed like 2,000 people. I mean, it was like the Costco version or whatever. We had like mountains of it. And my wife knows me very well. I will eat it all in one sitting. So she was hiding it from me. And she also knows that I'll go hunting for it. So every day she changes the location because I may have looked there the day before and seen it wasn't there. So now she could put it there and I wouldn't know it was there. Well, she went out the other day. She was out doing some gardening, and I found the stash, folks. I found it. Ooh! It wasn't a pretty sight, let me tell you. There were wrappers everywhere. It was awful. But, you know, I got my chocolate fixed. What can I tell you? Anyway, let's talk about the tweet storm that has descended upon us because we said to sell. And basically, it falls into five camps, okay? The first one is, you sold, but you're going to miss out on returns, okay? Missing out on returns was a common theme in a lot of the tweets that I saw. And so I want to address that one. Also, there were several accusations that, you know, we sold five other times and, you know, they were all mistakes and this and that. And I want to talk about just philosophically why I disagree with that whole notion. And then the other camp, which is kind of like the missing out on returns, was, you know, that we bought back in the past higher than we sold. And this is like some sort of cardinal sin that you must not commit. And I want to explain to you why that's okay. There is nothing wrong with that in my view. In fact, you know, it's probably going to happen, and I don't worry about that. There are others who are just dispensing outright wrong information. I mean, these people, they put stuff on Twitter that is absolutely, it's completely demonstrably incorrect, but yet they say it with such passion, and it's like other people read it, and they say, oh, you know, that must be true because it's on Twitter. It isn't, okay? So, you know, we'll talk about that. And then one of the things also that it says is that we don't tell people about the other times that we sold. So, I mean, one person says, you know, I know enough about it that I can now criticize you for the other times that you did it. And another one says, well, you never told us that anything that you did. So this lack of disclosure. So first of all, I just want to say I love criticism. I have no problem with people criticizing our philosophy, our strategy, everything. It's perfectly fine, and I love it. And I love engaging in that. But the animosity just tone it down, people. I mean, I don't understand why the vitriol and the animosity. That's a little much for me. And also, you know, I'm only telling you what we are doing. You know, I'm not telling you to do anything. Nobody has to do anything I say on this show, okay? I'm not your advisor. You don't have to follow me. You don't have to do anything. I'm just telling you what we do and the reason why I do it and the reason why I hide nothing. I mean, over the years, I tell you what we're doing. And the reason I do that is because I want to help other people. That's the reason. You know, I know that there are thousands of people listening to my podcast and seeing what we write and all that kind of stuff. I know that there are thousands of you out there that do that, and the vast majority of you are not clients. So, you know, I just think that if you help enough people out there, it's a good thing. And, you know, in 2008, when we said to sell and stay out for that whole year, that was a year when I had many, many, many people thank me and say, you know, I probably will never become a client, but I want to thank you for that. Okay. So the one that really bothers me is the outright wrong information and all that kind of stuff. You know, people post stuff like, you know, one person posted that, you know, we sold at the bottom in December of 2018. No, we didn't. We didn't sell in December. We sold in October, 2 months before the bottom. You know, and others are saying, well, you know, you've sold five times in a row and it's been wrong. No, we've sold five times and one of them was 2008. And I'll take that one every day of the week, okay? We were out for that entire year. Now, there were four others, which you could say were not bear markets and therefore were mistakes and we missed out. But I'm going to explain in the next segment why I disagree with that entirely. And if you're over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, I think you will probably agree with me on that. Okay, so we're going to get into that. But before we do that, I want to invite you. If you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. There are several resources on there that I would like for you to take advantage of. There's no charge or obligation for any of this, okay? Just like in 2008 when we had the credit crisis, we want to help as many of you get to the other side of this as unscathed financially as we possibly can. So that's our motive, right? That is it. Now, if in the process we get some clients, that's gravy. We'd love that. Obviously, we're in business. But the primary motive is we want to help as many, many people as we can, and that's really the primary thing. So if you go there, you can sign up to watch. We have webinars on there that we're doing at various times of the day that are live webinars that you can participate in that are on how to invest in an uncertain economy right now. What should you be doing? Also, what you can do if you go to our website, rpoa.com, is you can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners, our advisors. They'll sit down with you at no charge or obligation. We'll help you build your financial plan. We'll go over our philosophies. And if we can help you, that's fantastic. And again, if we can't help you, we'll tell you that too. No charge, no obligation, and we will part friends. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to address those five things that I just mentioned in some detail. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe, and I am founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon, and we currently serve over 9,000 families in 48 states, and we are so honored and privileged to do that. And everything that we do is geared around two goals. One is we want your money to last as long as you do. Okay, we want it to support your lifestyle for the rest of your life. And secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind. We want to worry about all of this stuff so that you don't have to. And so everything that we do is geared around achieving those two goals. And therefore, one thing that we do is we look at managing our clients' monies. We also help our clients with income tax planning and estate planning and Social Security planning, insurance planning, all those kind of things. The one that gets the most attention, of course, is the investment planning because of the fact that we have a strategy we call Invest and Protect. And as I was talking about in the last segment, you know, we sold all of our equities, and in fact, later we sold all of our bonds as well, but currently are sitting completely out of both bonds and stocks. But we sold in early March. And the Twitter sphere kind of got wind of that, given that I was interviewed by Wall Street Journal and USA Today and other publications. And so there's been a lot of criticism of what we do. And I think it's primarily a misunderstanding of our philosophy and who we are, okay? So again, we have what we call our investment principles, and one of our principles, which is the Principle number five is that the invest and protect strategy comes with opportunity cost in certain market conditions. So what that means is, yes, there is a possibility that you will miss out on returns using what we do. But, you know, I went over the criticisms that I received on Twitter with you already, so I think it's okay if I say something that's a compliment or that aligns with how we think. And this one person said, sounds like a bunch of salty buy and holders mad about currently being down 25%. Worry about your own business. Maybe this guy is doing exactly what his clients want, ? Not all of us want a 50% drawdown, even if you have to miss some gains. And you know what? That is exactly right. We don't want a 50% drawdown. We don't want to see the value of our clients' accounts drop by a massive amount. So we want to cut that off while we're still in an area that is relatively, you know, there's no strategy where you don't lose money, but ours is one that's designed to give us a tolerable downside. So I want to address the missing out on returns and buying back higher than we sold and that kind of thing. So let's say that you sell and you have $100 left over from your sell. And then what happens is the market goes up higher than where you sold, and you buy back in higher than where you sold. But then it continues going up from there. And so let's say it goes up another 5% from there. So what that means is your $100 that you sold, you buy back higher, and at the point where you buy back, it goes up another 5% after that. What's the wrong in that? You know, yes, it's higher than where you sold, but the point here is that if it goes down dramatically and you lose massive quantities, you may not be able to retire. You may not be able to stay retired. And that's our primary goal. Our primary goal is to have our clients be able to retire and then have their money last as long as they do. That's it. So if we see danger signaling all over the place, just like we did in November of 2007 when we said to sell. And again, you know, we had criticism about selling in 2018. If you remember, 2018 was a technical bear market. When it went down precipitously. In fact, you may recall that China was buying up their stock market to keep it from completely crashing, and it was potentially going to take down the world's markets with it. That kind of risk, we don't want to face. So we understand that we're going to miss out on returns with our strategy. But again, our core value number two, our investment principle is growth is important, but protection of principle is more important. Okay, so this notion that we're worried about missing out on returns, that's not what our deal is. Now, let me go back to something else that was in a criticism of Twitter that we saw on Twitter. And that was, you know, what have your returns been? And I bet they've been, you know, very bad because, you know, of the fact that you sell and then blah, blah, blah. Well, returns are relative. You know, in March of 2009, when the S&P was down 57%, and we had sold more than a year, almost a year and a half before that, I would compare our returns to the S&P and say, you know what, we killed it. We were way better. So if you pick that time zone, we look great. You pick a different time zone where what our critics are saying happened, then we don't look so great. But the point of that is that it's not about the returns for us. What it's about for us is protection of principle and income for our clients to support their lifestyle for the rest of their lives. That's what we're focused on. So it's not about the returns. If it was, then you're right. We would stay in and absorb a 50% loss or whatever it was in 2008 and whatever this one eventually will become, and we'd take it and we'd say, you know what, it's okay because we got 15 years to come back, and we'll take it. But that's not who we are. That's not what we do. And so you have to understand what game you're playing. And is the game you're playing one that is about protection of principle and income for life, or is it one about growing it as fast as you can? So if it's growing it as fast as you can, we're not the firm for you. If it's providing you with income and protecting your principle and having your money last as long as you do, then maybe we are the firm for you. So philosophically, we have to align. And you know, what we do with prospective clients is we go over our investment principles and we say, these are our eight principles. And if you agree with these, then we have a fit. And if you don't, then we're probably not a good fit. So I'll just read them to you, the others. We are committed to having your money last as long as you do, as I said. Growth is important, but protection of principle is more important. The goal of our strategy is unlimited upside with a tolerable downside. We also believe that it's better to have our protect strategy and not need it than to need it and not have it. Our strategy comes with opportunity cost in certain market conditions, as I mentioned. We believe that you should take only as much risk as is appropriate to achieve your financial goals. We believe that paying taxes on gains is preferable to losing principal. Call us crazy, but if you sell and make a profit and pay taxes on that, that's better than writing it down and losing principal and the gains you had. And finally, number eight, we believe that having a professional retirement planner can help achieve a successful retirement. Again, people who are do-it-yourselfers that love to do this stuff, it's not a good fit for us. We've had clients in the past that have been do-it-yourselfers, and eventually they want to do it themselves, and they don't want to. So if you love gardening, you're not going to hire a gardener to do it for you. Okay, so if you are somebody that does not want to worry about all this stuff, if you are somebody that agrees with the philosophy I've just outlined, then we would love to meet with you and see if there's a fit. And you can go to our website. It's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And when you're there, you can sign up to watch. We have a about 15-minute webinar that outlines the overall picture of things. We also have live virtual seminars that we're having that you can attend. And we'd love for you to attend those. It's, again, no charge or obligation. And then also you can avail yourself of meeting with one of our retirement planners, and they'd sit down with you, and we'll build an entire retirement plan with you at no charge or obligation. We want to help guide as many people through this storm as possible and get to the other side as unscathed as possible. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about why we think, even though the market's doing what it's doing, it's too risky to buy right now. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe, and this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning, and I am your host, Ken Morafe, and I am a senior retirement planner and founder of Retirement Planners of America, and we're a firm that we work with people who are primarily over 50, who are retired or retiring soon, so if that's you, then we are designed for you, and because of our who we work with, and we now work with over 9,000 families in 48 states, and we manage over $4.5 billion, and we are honored and privileged to be able to do that, and we're so thankful. And, you know, our philosophy of invest and protect told us it was time to sell all of our equities early in March. So we've been out since early March. And the question that we're being asked is, you know, when do you think is the time to buy and all of that? I'm going to actually get into the specifics of that in the next segment. But in this segment, I want to go over with you why I think, despite the rally that we have seen here lately, and it's been spectacular, we think that it's still too risky for us, okay, for us and given who our clients are. So let me go over with you, first of all, we don't know where this is going yet. Okay, when you look at, we've never had a hard stop to the economy like this. We don't know how bad the after effects of all this are going to be yet. So for us, this is all, you know, people who are buying right now are gunslingers. You know, God bless you, but you're in my view, you are taking a lot of risk. And let me go over with you why. So number one is, we don't know the number of bankruptcies that this is going to create. And a lot of these companies that are going to go bankrupt are never going to come back. You know, there's a restaurant right next door to our headquarters. We love this restaurant. They just closed down. And I talked to the owner, and they're never coming back. And they employed about 50 people. Those jobs at that restaurant are gone forever. So we haven't seen the number of bankruptcies and how it's going to affect and all of that. Also, unemployment. You know, the numbers that came out last a week or so ago were almost four times higher than what people thought it would be. And yet this market seems to think that's okay. There's no problem with that. So the unemployment numbers, we don't know how bad the unemployment's going to be. And then when you have bankruptcies and unemployment, you have a problem with real estate, because people who are bankrupt or unemployed are not making their mortgage payments, and they're not making their rental payments. And businesses in malls and in office buildings are not able to meet that. And so therefore, the whole real estate market right now, which is massive, that was 2008, folks, that was a portion of the real estate market. It was just the housing. It wasn't, you know, it impacted the rest, but it was primarily in mortgages. Now we're talking about the entire economy pretty much is staying at home. And you have restaurant people, it's all over. And that is a financial crisis in the making, in my opinion. Now, the other thing that we worry about is the global situation. You know, we tend to be very centric. We look at ourselves and our economy and the United States and all of that. But think about Brazil and Venezuela and Argentina and other places where they were already on the verge of recession, and they have mountains of debt. And a lot of that debt is from American wealthy investors and hedge funds and all that that have lent them the money when interest rates were so low and they could get a higher interest rate over there. So these emerging countries that have fragile economies, how do we know what the impact of all of this is going to be on them? You know, in Brazil, they have these things called favelas, which are essentially, they're slums. And these people, tens of thousands of people live right on top of each other. I mean, it's those people, if the virus gets in there, and I don't see how it wouldn't, it's going to cause all kinds of terrible things. And they don't have the healthcare system that we do. They're not as wealthy as we are. So their ability to deal with it is going to be very difficult. And if they start defaulting on their debt, if we have a global default, a sovereign default, a country defaulting on their debt, that would be a Lehman moment. I mean, I think that would like shake the world up and cause everybody to run for the exits. So, I mean, it's just there is so much. And to me, I don't know why you would want to buy into that when you have no visibility. How long is this going to last? I mean, what if they don't come up with a vaccine for another 2 years? What, you know nothing at this point. So for us to go and buy into this right now, that there, you know, and I'll give you another statistic. If you look at Y2K, you look at the Great Depression, Y2K, and 2008, which is now called the Great Financial Crisis. They've given it a name now. So it's the GFC. So if you look at the GDP, the Great Depression, you look at Y2K, and you look at GFC, the Great Financial Crisis, in all three of those, there were rallies exactly like this one. And in all three of those rallies came at the halfway point on the way down. And this is according to Bloomberg that I saw. So meaning that this rally we're in right now, if history holds, was the halfway point, which means it could go down significantly from here. So because of all of the above, you know, if you're a gunslinger and you're brave and you want to be the hero that picked the bottom and all that, go for it. But that's not us. You know, we work with people who at this point in their life, they don't want to take chances like that. It's the risk of that is just not appropriate for our clients. And so in our world, we're going to sit this one out for the time being. Now, in the next segment, I'm going to talk about, you know, what are we thinking about? And you can stay tuned for that one. But what I want you to do is go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And while you're there, you can sign up to attend one of our virtual seminars on how to invest in this coronavirus economy. Also, we have a webinar you can watch if you don't want to attend a live virtual event. You can watch a webinar. We also have the ability for you to meet with one of our retirement planners, and we'll build a retirement plan. We'll give you strategy. We'll do all of that with you at no charge or obligation. So all of that is available to you on our website. It's rpoa.com. All right? So we'll look forward to seeing if we can help you. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, okay, well, then when do we buy? So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And you know what? On this show, we like our bonds shaken and not stirred. And apparently, a lot of the other financial shows, they stir their bonds. And you would not want to do that in front of Sean Connery. He'd be very upset about that. But anyway, we are back. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and I am founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. And we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And so we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that's you, then this show is designed for you. Our website is rpoa.com. And our goal during all of this stuff that's going on is to help as many people as we can to bridge the gap. You know, and right now we have quarantined our money just as we are quarantining ourselves. We are sitting on the sidelines waiting this thing out. And so, as you guys may know, we have a strategy that we call Invest and Protect. And this is the same strategy that told us to sell in November of 2007 before the Great Financial Crisis and told us to stay out for almost a year and a half before our buy signal came. And yes, it did tell us to sell in October of 2018, which was, you know, 2 months before the big down that happened in that market. But it turned out to be a quick bounce back. So that one turned out to be no harm, no foul. But nevertheless, our strategy said to sell when a bear market didn't happen. And early March of this year, we did say it was time to get out. So we have been out now since then. Now, the question that I've been getting a lot of, tweets about and people emailing me, et cetera, is, you know, when do we buy? And one of the things that people think that when we have sold and we're sitting in cash, basically, that now our job is done. You know, it's like you're not doing anything. You're sitting in cash. And when the market is run, when you're invested and you're all in, then you're doing a lot of work. Well, let me tell you, when you are out of the market, when you are sitting on the sidelines, it is a lot more work. I would put it on, I think it's about 10 times the work than it is when you are fully invested. So let me go over with you what our investment committee, what are the questions and the strategies and the things we're looking at that are on the plate. So first of all, you know, when do we get back in? Now, we have a strategy that we use that comes also with a signal that tells us it's time to buy. But in this circumstance, this is a crazy world that we're in. We've never seen anything like this. Do the rules that we've lived by in the past apply now? So do we want to wait for our strategy to tell us to buy, or do we want to buy ahead of that? For example, if a vaccine is announced, is that the time to buy, or do we wait for our strategy to tell us it was time to buy? Or maybe we, you know, so do we buy before, do we buy when it happens, or do we wait till after and wait till the other side of this? And then if we do decide to buy, what are we going to buy back into? I mean, there's a lot of thought being put into you exactly what is it that we're going to buy? And what about bonds? Are we going to buy back into our bonds or not? You know, I mean, there's questions about that. And if we do buy bonds, what kind of bonds are you going to buy? Are you going to buy treasuries, corporates, you know, all the kind of things. And then the other thing is that right now, as we've discussed on prior podcasts, yes, we did say to get out and sit in a money market or a cash equivalent, but they are not all equal. They're not the same. So part of our due diligence is to look at what is the money market funds that we are in, what are they comprised of? What is inside that? You know, I remember back in and by the way, the team that is doing all of this, the leadership team on our investment committee, is the same four people that guided us through 2008. And we made it through 2008 relatively unscathed. You know, the people that followed our advice, that followed our lead, were out of the all stocks during all of 2008, and therefore did not lose in the stock market. But we also sold all of our bonds in July of 2008 because we didn't understand. They were losing value in an environment where the Fed was lowering interest rates. And historically, that's not what happens. So suddenly we were in this bizarro world and we decided, no, maybe we should sell that too. So getting out of that turned out to be a good move because most bonds fell after that when Lehman collapsed and all the rest of that. So making sure that what you think is safe is actually safe is part of the job you do. You know, when you are out, you're looking at where are the potential cracks in the armor? Where are the vulnerabilities in your defensive posture? You know, it's kind of like a football game. When your defense goes on the field, you want to make sure that you have the best players and you have the best game plan and you have all of that in the right place. Because if it isn't, then you could still suffer some pain. So we're doing that as well. Now, the other thing also is that the important thing, you know, for us is to be able to not only look at these kinds of decisions, but also to communicate with our clients. And so the amount of communication that we do with clients during these times is multiples of the communication we make when we're in a normal running bull market. You know, normally in a running bull market, we communicate with clients once a week. Right now, it seems like, you know, it's like every other day something's happening that requires us to send out a communication. And we send out videos, we send out emails. And so we want to be in front of our clients. We have a core value that says if a client calls us about something we should have called them about first, we lost. And so, you know, when all this stuff is happening, we believe that that is the time when we earn our keep. We need to be in front of our clients all the time and to hold their hand and tell them what we're thinking about and to give them confidence and peace of mind. You know, there's an old expression that says a financial advisor makes their money in a bull market, but they earn it in a bear market. And boy, is that the truth. And one of the things that we don't do is hide under our desk and hide from our clients, you know, because we don't want to talk to them when they're down a lot of money. You know, hopefully our strategy will keep them from that, keep us from having that conversation. But be that as it may, we still want to be in front of our clients so they don't call us. We want to be ahead of the questions they'll have so that we can answer their questions. So a lot goes into being out of the market. It's not as simple as you just sold and you're sitting in cash and you're sipping mint juleps out in the back patio on your hammock. Okay, that's not what's happening. So it's not for everybody, and maybe it's the reason why many other firms and advisory services and all that don't do what we do. They believe that buy hold is what you do, which means you just do nothing. I remember one time my daughter, who is now 23, when she was 18, and I was explaining all this to her, she goes, "Well, Daddy, if everybody just buys stuff and then sits on it forever, then why do you need them? Why couldn't you just buy yourself and sit on it yourself forever also?" You know, from the mouth of babes.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into this. I would not recommend you do it yourself. So go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And visit with one of our retirement planners. Go to a virtual seminar. Watch a webinar, podcasts, all kinds of information that will, I hope, help you to get through this very difficult time and come out on the other side as unscathed as possible. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our estate tip of the week, which is what should you be thinking about right now, given the coronavirus. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. And our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and I'm senior retirement planner and founder of that firm. And we now work with over 9,000 beautiful, wonderful families in 48 states, and we are fortunate to be able to manage over $4.5 billion for our clients, and we are so thankful that they have chosen us, and we hope that you will give us a look, all right? If you're over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, our website is rpoa.com, and we have resources on there for you. We have podcasts. We have videos. You can sign up to attend one of our virtual seminars. We have a bunch of those coming up soon, and we also have articles and all kinds of stuff on there about retirement planning that we think will help you. Now, also, this is the segment of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And normally, we talk about estate taxes and we talk about trusts and you know, all those kind of things. But this week, and not to be a downer, but I think it's important given the possibility, hopefully a very remote, infinitesimally small possibility, that you actually get infected. And, you know, if that were to happen, it is not a foregone conclusion that everybody can start making decisions for you financially, medical, all those kind of things. Don't assume that people can do that, because if they don't have your authority to do it, then probably they cannot, okay? So how do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about that next. But first, Faye, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes, probate, all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. And we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, what I want to talk with you about are the power of attorney documents that probably the vast majority of you listening to this show should have. Okay, so what are power of attorney documents? Well, basically, these are the documents where you authorize somebody to make decisions for you in the event that you are not able to for yourself. Okay, so this isn't a will is who does stuff after you die, but power of attorney documents are if you become incapable of making your own decisions. There are basically four documents that you need to be looking at or should consider looking at, should I say. The first one is what's called a durable power of attorney. So this is where you authorize somebody to make financial decisions for you. Okay, so this is paying your bills. This is, you know, spending your money, investments, investment decisions, all that kind of stuff. No one can do that without your permission. Okay, I mean, they can do it, but it'd be a crime. So you got to give them permission to do it. The second thing is the power of attorney for healthcare. Okay, so this is healthcare decisions. And so if you need a procedure done or you need something done, somebody has to have the authority to make these decisions for you. And, you know, the worst case scenario would be that you get this infection or actually anything, and nobody has the authority. So now all of a sudden you got to have all kinds of complications before anybody can do anything for you. So you got to have that, in my opinion. Now, also, there's what's called the physician's directive. Now, this one is commonly called the pull the plug document. And we've all seen over the years where families were devastated financially because they could not pull the plug and they were spending thousands and thousands of dollars. And they went to court and the judge said, well, you know what? If they wanted that, they would have said so. They didn't. Therefore, we have to keep going this way. And sorry, family, you're just going to have to spend all the money. So physician's directive could be an important thing. And then finally, there's the guardianship document. And that's kind of if any of you have had young children and you had to make the decision, okay, if something happened to us, who's going to take care of the young kids, right? Who's going to bathe them? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to take them to the doctor? You know, who's going to take them to school? All that kind of stuff. Taking care of the physical person, that's called guardianship. And again, you need a document or should have a document, in my opinion, to address who you're giving that authority to. So those are the power of attorney documents. And again, just to review them with you, there's the durable power of attorney. That's the financial side. There's healthcare. And you can make this a different person. Okay, because you may have somebody in the family that knows all about healthcare but knows nothing about finances, and you may have somebody who knows everything about finances but knows nothing about healthcare. So you might want to name one the healthcare and one the financial. It could be different people. You don't have to name the same person. And then the physician's directive is the pull the plug document. That's up to your moral compass. You know, there are some people that they're opposed to that, and that's fine. It's up to you. I'm just making you aware. And then finally, the guardianship document to take care of your physical being should you not be able to do that for yourself. All right? So those are the documents. And these are, in many cases, state-specific. So depending on the state that you are in, it could be different than another state. So be sure to talk to someone who understands this stuff, who is knowledgeable, an attorney or someone that can help you to have these documents. Now, I want to make you an offer. If you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. You can click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you do that, then one of our retirement planners will sit down with you and look at your entire financial retirement plan. Okay, so we want to build a cash flow plan for you. We want to analyze how you're invested. And is that, in our view, appropriate for you? Are you taking more risk or not enough risk? We want to talk about should you be invested right now, given what's going on in the markets and this big run up, but the big down before that, where do we go from here? And talk about our invest and protect strategy with you. So we have lots and lots of stuff we'd love to share with you. And you can find all of that on our website. It's rpoa.com. Now, if you don't want to visit with one of our people, that's fine. You can attend one of our virtual seminars. We have a bunch of those coming up soon. And we also have a webinar on there. We have podcasts and videos, lots of information that I hope will help you. Okay, so rpoa.com is our website. Well, you know what? This show is over already. It's gone by so quickly. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.